Hey, surprise today. It's just me. Beth is nursing her voice back to health after a week of connecting with people in Chicago for H&H Americas, and you'll see both of us together again next week. I am contending with a thunderstorm, so hopefully I have not too much of a distraction there. So you get just me today, and today I'm going to be talking about what is fit, right? So what is it? How subjective is it really? And how do we do a good job of getting the fit that we want in our garments? I always love to start a conversation where I'm going to be giving you my thoughts on best practices by saying that there's no wrong way to love knitting. So if you're creating garments that you love and you're happy with them, great, right? We don't need to change a thing. But if you're interested in the pursuit of a more technically perfected fit, hopefully you'll be able to find something in today's chat that helps you out. Also, guys, I'm working from cue cards because I don't have a co-host to help me. And I also asked for some input on Instagram so that I could pretend that y'all are co-hosting with me. So today, my digital remote virtual, not really here co-hosts are Kirsten and Claudia and Diana and Linda. So thank you to y'all and to everybody else who weighed in on the gram to give me some things that I could read off here. So first of all, I agree with most of you guys. Style is something that's totally objective. We could prefer snug, we could prefer loose, we could prefer tailored or flowy, voluminous or trim, right? Those are all style choices that we can make for our garments, and there's no wrong way to have a style. But when we talk about fit, whether or not something fits, that's less subjective. Generally, I'm going to define fit as having enough room for your body with the tension evenly distributed, no distortion of lines in the garment, whether that's the hem or the construction lines. And that's all going to be within the context of the fabric of the garment, right? So a stretchy garment is going to have more give and take than one without a lot of stretch. So let's read some of y'all's thoughts on fit, right? Right. So Kirsten, who's on the gram at the Knit Shit, wrote, "For me, a good fit means I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. I think you've referred to this as chatty, which is the perfect description. I've honestly gotten used to existing in a slightly uncomfortable state in ready-to-wear clothes, especially if I want to feel put together. I often have to settle for the wrong size in one aspect to get another aspect I like shoulder seams are too small, but waist fits to fit well. I prefer a fitted to tight silhouette and often compromise on length to achieve this. I'm learning that zero ease does not equal fitted when it comes to knitting, but still worry that negative ease will result in something too small. Necklines are also a huge part of a good fit, as anything touching my neck or moving around will make me feel like I'm choking all day." Same. I agree. And this is really great. I'm going to talk a little bit later on about when a pattern calls for positive ease, but we prefer a zero ease or a fitted garment, some of the things that can come up there, because I think that right now we're seeing that fitted and negative ease garments are having a big moment. We're moving a little bit away from the super boxy styles of the last few years. And so, what happens if we want to get that and we're working with a pattern that wasn't written for that? Or conversely, if we're working with a pattern written for negative ease and we don't want that fit. Claudia, who's on Instagram, is casa.d.berry. "For me, something fits when I put it on and stop thinking about it." And Carly, you shared something like this too, right? So if I'm constantly tugging, pulling, fixing, then it does not fit. This applies regardless of the amount of ease. Yeah, so I think Claudia is hitting on what we're talking about here, right? Is that having the tension in your garment evenly distributed and having it match the dimensions of your body proportionately is going to contribute to a sense of it fitting. Diana, who's on Instagram as Diana Y Knits, said, "I'd love to hear your thoughts on how fast fashion influence our ideas of fit. You've mentioned sister sizes, aka shitty sizes, in bras, but do you see that with other types of garments too? To me, Fit means it achieves its purpose and is comfortable. Purpose can be anything you want for yourself, lifts and support, draping and flowing elegance, or sharp and professional. So yes, Diana, I love this comment slash question, right? Because I completely agree with you. We can create what we're looking for by choosing a garment and putting on. We get to decide whether that style meets our goals or not. Whether that creates fit issues is almost like a separate question. So in bra sizing, for those of you who do not wear bras, you might have a band and a cup size that is ideal, but you can wear something maybe that has a bigger band and a smaller cup. It's called a sister size. And they're, in my opinion, like a little bit of a myth perpetuated by bra shops because they don't fit as well. They don't. So to answer Diana's question, do I think that we can create that for ourselves? I do, particularly when we talk about oversized garments. So if you imagine going into a store and choosing a size that's very oversized, you could, within a range, size down or do the opposite with something supposed to be very fitted, size up, and create a style that's oversized. You will still make compromises then on the fit, right? So if we take something that is designed to be worn very oversized and we size it down, we may not have as much room in the underarm, for example, or in some of those other vertical lengths that we might want. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we talk about sizing up and down for negative or positive ease, right? Okay, lastly, I wanted to share Linda. So Linda wrote, for me, an important learning from ready-to-wear clothing was that even though I really like when something has a waist, it's flattering on me, most of the time the waistband on ready-to-wear clothing sits at completely the wrong height on my torso. I really need to be careful about checking and adjusting this when knitting or sewing. And I saved Linda's note for last because Linda's a sewist. And I think that something I have been reflecting on a lot recently is the fact that knittists and sewists have a very different approach to fit. So if you're a sewist, you know that the first thing you do is you get out your pattern, you measure all the dimensions and you compare them to your own body and see what you want to change. Not if you want to change something, but there's an assumption as a sewist that you're going to make a change. Not only that, but that you're going to make a whole mock-up to see if those changes work or if you want to adjust them. Now, sewing can be a little bit less forgiving because we're often working with woven fabrics. Not always, but most of us work with woven fabrics quite a bit. And those are less forgiving because they don't stretch, right? So woven fabric would be your denims, your linens, whereas a knit, either the kind that you hand knit or like a jersey t-shirt that you buy in the store is automatically more forgiving. But sewists bring an assumption to their hobby, to their craft, to their art, that they're going to make fit changes. And knitters just don't have that same baseline. I grew up as a sewist. I also knew how to knit, but I was mostly a sewist. And even still, when I went to knitting, I didn't make the leap that I needed to begin making many of the same adjustments, or at least approaching my knitting practice with the assumption that I was going to want to change something. Linda also talked about something really important here, that's height. I talked to a number of knitters over the weekend who are very tall. My girls are tall, and they have found, like, yes, you can lengthen your garment from the hem to the underarm, but many of us are not longer just in like a quarter of our body, right? We're taller everywhere. And so if you need to make a height adjustment, if you're not 5 foot five and a half, 5 foot four and a half, that average height that patterns are written for, you're often going to need to make an adjustment, not only in the lower half of the torso, but also like in this arm side area, right? In the underarm depth. So we've identified a couple things that feel like fit issues. If we have to adjust it, if it's pulling or tugging, if it's unevenly tight, right? Maybe we don't hate negative ease, but for me, and I think many of you in my comments, we don't want it to be negative ease somewhere and positive ease somewhere else. Like, we want an even distribution of that tension. And that's what I mean. Like, if something is oversized, we don't want it to be oversized everywhere but the stomach, right? Like, that would be an uneven distribution of tension and would be uncomfortable. So there are all sorts of reasons that something might not fit. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit today about some of the things that can give us a visual clue about why something isn't fitting us well. So I brought my dress form, and I'm also wearing one of my favorite designs. It's Local Meadow. The pattern does not have bust darts. That doesn't mean you can't add them. In fact, I wrote it to be easy to add because this design feature kind of ends like at a point where you can kind of put it below. You'll have to contend with the cable shaping, but that's not a huge deal. But I wanted to use this one because I'm somebody who benefits from bust darts. And when I knit this sample, I was not yet aware that I could benefit them, right? Because we're all constantly growing and learning about what is going to make us have the best fit in our knitwear. So let's talk a little bit about some visual clues, because I know that in my content, at least, I talk about these things, but I don't always describe them. The first thing I want to talk about is a drag line. And that is going to be a swooping line in the fabric that goes from across a gradient of tension. So it goes from somewhere where there's too much tension to less tension, right? High to low tension. You can see this some on my dress form here, where we have drag lines caused in this fabric here. And that's happening because we have high tension across here. This is also a garment without bust darts and plenty of positive ease here. And so this bust area is stealing fabric. It's stealing fabric to address that tension issue. And that's causing these sideways lines. In your sweaters, that looks very similar. Fumble on my tech here. And you can see already what these drag lines look like here, right? And so those can cause something that's not, I mean, it's a rectangular garment, but these drag lines here cause it to look boxy and bunchy, specifically under the arm in the midsection. This is not an area where many of us want to distort our figure. So having those drag lines there, just like that, is not a silhouette that most of us want in our knits. Now, you can maybe imagine that this one right here, let's take these here. If we were to lower this fabric, they disappear. Now, we do that in knitting by adding bust darts, right? By adding length just here only. Because if we added it everywhere, it wouldn't help. But by adding length only, and I'm going to cheat by just pulling on it, you can see that alleviates those drag lines. Drag lines, no drag lines. And so drag lines are going to be something that indicate a fit issue. And they generally indicate that we have a rounded area on our body that does not have enough fabric. So we will see them at the bust. We might also see them against the belly, right? So if something is too tight here, you know, we might see drag lines kind of in this area and maybe even leading up to it. I'm like trying to like stick my tongue out. We can also see them if we have a hump in our back. I don't, but you can imagine that if I did, we'd see those drag lines. And sometimes that can be a postural issue. I was talking to a knitter this week who, and this happens sometimes, I'm not trying to diagnose why this person has a postural issue, but sometimes when we're used to our breast taking up a lot of room and messing up the hem of our sweaters, we begin to stand in a way that flattens out that hem by kind of tucking, right? And so that kind of brings this part of the back up and back. And so sometimes we have just a postural hump. And when we do, we might see that the hem is longest in the middle, but then when we stand up, it gets shorter in the front. While I'm standing up, another way we might indicate that we need bust adjustments or a high rounded back adjustment is if this hem rises. And if you have plenty of material in the back side here, if you've got some butt, that might even be evened out and you might have a matching need, to add both bust and butt shaping. And just your whole midsection here is just nothing but drag lines. So when we talk about fit, we talk about fitting from the top down. And so by addressing that bust dart issue, then we'll say, okay, well now our front hem is lower than our back hem. So fit top down and see what pops up as you work top down. So that's drag lines. Uneven hems. So I just talked about that a little bit. If you need a bust adjustment, your hem might be shorter in the front. If you need a bust adjustment in the back, your hem might be shorter in the back. If you need both, your hem might look even or be longest on the sides. But then you have all those drag lines too. So you know that you do have a fit issue, right? So look for uneven hems. to help you diagnose what that fit issue exactly is. Another thing we often see is gapping at the underarm. And I will talk to designers sometimes who see gapping here. I don't know if you can see it. There's like extra fabric here. And think, oh, I needed a smaller armhole, right? Because the intuition is that if somehow we make this armhole smaller, we can solve that. But you'll notice what I'm really doing is I'm not making it shorter or narrower, because that doesn't solve the problem. I'm gathering it up. And what I'm really doing is I'm accommodating this extra bust tissue here. And when we see this in the back, and I often see this on knitted tanks, it's not evident on my mannequin, but if you have a high rounded back also, you might have that gapping here too, because you'd have material there. And it would pucker, usually like that. So those are both signs that, again, we have a tension gradient that we need to address. Let me stop shaking my camera. And again, bust darts are going to solve that. So in my mannequin issue here, this bust, front bust, the inclination is to take out fabric at the underarm. And yeah, I mean, you can make a bust dart there, but it's clumsy, and then you have to reshape the neck, and it doesn't really solve this issue. But when we add bust darts, we do. Adding bust darts, we create enough room for the whole situation. And so that's, again, addressing that full bust issue, but can also address a high rounded back, or I've worked with folks before who have a fat pad in the back from some prescription use, or even, that's the only two fitting spots on the armhole that are going to do that. But yes, gapping at the underarm or in the armhole in the front or the back is also a sign that you need to add body length without adding anything else to the sides. We'll also look out for things like uneven seams. So here, the side seam goes from here and then comes down. That's a sign that we have a fitting issue. It can be really severe, right? So if we have a lot of material in the back, a garment is going to become strained across the front, and that side seam is going to get pulled. So put on your sweater sometime and look and see when you lift your arm, what's that thing do? So you can see for mine, it's coming at an angle because I need that bust dart and don't have it. If I add that length there again, it's going to even out that underarm line. All right, I'm going to change shirts here because I want to show you a shirt that is too small. It does not fit. And I want to do this because we've talked a little bit here about wanting negative ease and how you can always just wear things tighter. But I want to show you where you might run into limitations with that. So I'm going to change my top off screen. Okay, this is Herbless. This is another sweater that does not have bust darts. Although I wrote the pattern so that you can make the front a little bit wider if you want. It'll widen the neckline in the front. So I just added a couple repeats here in the middle. Now, yes, we can totally, if we like a nice even pressure, we can take a sweater that's designed for positive ease and wear it with negative ease. Now, knitting stretches. So as things stretch wider, they also get shorter. So if you do that, expect to need to add length. So this is designed to be worn with 4 inches of positive ease. I'm probably wearing it with 5 inches of negative ease with no bust shaping. So you're going to see some stuff here. First of all, you can see that even though this is a semi-crop length to start with, I now have no length in the front. Like, all of the length is being stolen by this negative ease. And likewise, things are pretty tight in here, tighter than I like them. I like a little room to move in my underarm. And likewise, my cuffs are short. So know that if you are going to mess around with the recommended ease, your lengths are going to change. If you're taking a pattern designed to be worn with negative ease and you're making it SA0 to positive ease garment, it's going to be very, very long. You're going to have too much fabric in the yoke and too much fabric in the under part of it. In contrast, if you take a garment like this and wear it with negative ease, you're going to need to add some length to the underarm. And I think that if I were going to try and project how much length I needed to add, I would take my gauge swatch. Once I get the gauge called for in the pattern, and then I would figure out to what percentage I expected to stretch it. And then I would stretch my swatch that much and see how my row gauge changed. So if I were a 40-inch bust, or if I would normally knit a 40-inch bust and I plan to knit a 30-inch bust, right? So that's a quarter of a reduction. I think I would start just experimenting with stretching my swatch 25% further and seeing what happened. See how my row gauge changed. Just to make sure that you have enough length, right? That's how I would do it. Or you can start from the size that's called for your size, and then work fewer stitches widthwise, right? So keeping the length, but I'd probably do the first thing. Little thinky talking. So the other way in sewing, we have a phrase called the wrinkles point to the problem. And it's hard to see in this texture, but what I see is there's a big, deep wrinkle here where fabric is being stolen. And sometimes we'll see that as whiskers, which is a type of tension line from things being pulled too tight, right across. Now, knitting sometimes will not show those whiskers, but you'll feel it. You'll feel it pulling. And those are just a sign that you need more width or more depth. I feel like whiskers like that, tension like that, almost always is a sign that we need more depth, but not all the time. Which kind of leads me to the last fit topic I wanted to talk about, which gets back to what Linda was saying, the wrong vertical placement. So if you're tall, or if you've messed around with the ease, the vertical placement of your design features is probably going to need to be adjusted, right? So if you're tall, be aware that you probably are going to have a deeper armhole depth than the standard. Now, you could just have that anyway, even if you are 5'4.5", because we vary not just in width, but also in length. But especially if you're tall and you're somebody who knows that you're taller, and you know that you've got extra torso, that extra torso is not going to be concentrated here. It's going to be your whole extra torso. Plan to add length so that things look deliberate. To do that, I like to recommend that you know and get familiar with this measurement right here, which is your inner neck point, halfway between the front and the back, where the neck meets the body. And you can use that point and know, and your schematic, right, to identify where those vertical points are and make sure that they work for you, right? So if you know that your bust apex is here and you want your dart to be like a quarter inch below that, you can measure to that and make sure, according to your schematic, that that bust dart is where you want it. You can make sure you know where that hem is. You can make sure that you know where parallel with the underarm is. So get used to using that measurement and your schematic to get the fit that you want. Keeping in mind that your inner neck point right here might not be where the pattern's inner neck point is, right? This neckline is being pulled just a little bit wider than normal because I'm pulling it out because it's too small for me. But yeah, if you've got an extra wide neck point, you would not need to measure down as far, right? Because our shoulders are triangles. And so if you're measuring from out on here, it's going to be that much shorter than if you measure very close to the neck. So take a look at your schematic. Take a look at how it fits on the model. See if you can identify roughly where on your shoulder slope you should be measuring. And then measure down and compare that to the schematic to make sure you're getting the fit that you want. A lot of patterns will just have you knit the same length from the hem to the underarm, even though as we get taller or as we get bigger, more of our body is taken up in here. And so those patterns, like that arm side gets bigger, but then also the armhole to hip gets bigger. But does the person get any taller? So pay attention to those vertical points. Make sure you know where you're creating bust shaping, you know, stripes, pockets, bust starts, other vertical placement that matters to you, including, of course, cuff length. I have long arms. So how can you get a bigger fit or a better fit? here's my key tips. Know your measurements, right? Mary in my comments on Instagram talked about like body dysphoria and having just a totally distorted sense of like what your body looks like in comparison to what it's actually shaped like. Using the measurements of your body and the measurements of the garment that you're going to create is going to give you the fit that you're looking for. So similarly, really work from patterns with schematics. If they don't have it, like that's a red flag for a pattern anyway, right? Like you should be able to see the dimensions of the thing you're going to make. You should be able to see that before you buy it, but especially after you buy it, right? You don't want to, as the knitter, have to totally recalculate the schematic yourself before you even get started. That's a lot of work. And you need to know how the thing's going to fit on your body if you're going to make it fit on your body, right? Similarly, you can evaluate existing garments, whether they're ready to wear or other hand knits that you've made, and see how much ease you like in the construction that you're going to knit, right? So maybe for a relaxed DK raglan, you have this preference, but for a silky, breezy, swingy tank, you have a different preference. So get used to measuring all those measurements on your garment or comparing them on your schematic to your next project to help you choose a size so that you can be confident of the fit that you're going to get or how you'd like to adjust it. So if you know that things are too tight for you here and you just knit a DK weight raglan, compare it. And if it's the same, plan to add a little bit, right? So even if you're not feeling like you've got a good handle on your own measurements, knowing how previous garments have fit you and their measurements can still help you go ahead and get that next great fit. I know some people in ED recovery are not always ready to take their measurements, but measuring other sweaters that you have and comparing that to the schematic of your next pattern can help you skip the line and not do any measuring if that's not appropriate for you. Finally, experiment, right? So like we just talked about, maybe you just need to add a few rows. So play around with that. And if the stakes feel too high, you can always steal from Sewist and make a muslin. I like to go to the discount part of my fabric store and get a fabric that matches my swatch. And then I like to just, it's real quick and dirty, y'all. I will literally just cut out from the schematic the size I plan to make with like an extra quarter inch all around and then whip stitch it or even safety pin it. You just need enough to get an impression of how something is going to fit on you. You can then, if you want, even draw on those waistlines. If you like messing with the pocket placement, you can do that. Want a deeper neck? Draw it on there, right? And then calculate the difference between what you want and what you have with your ruler and apply your gauge and see, oh, maybe I want to bind off 3 extra stitches for that neckline to get that width I want, right? So you have a lot of choices when it comes to getting fit, but ready to wear has really conditioned us to not know what's possible. So I have a few Sewist resources that I really like to recommend for knitters. One is the Palmer and Pletch tissue fitting book that will show you what fit issues look like in tissue and talk about how to make them for sewing patterns. But literally the same things apply for knitters, right? So if you need a high rounded back adjustment, you need a high rounded back adjustment. Instead of cutting the fabric and then sewing a dart, you'll just knit your fabric to have short rows, right? So anywhere we need to add mid-body fabric, we can just use short rows to do that. We don't actually have to cut, measure, and sew a dart. So I recommend picking up a book like that that is going to walk you through what fit issues look like so that even if you have never experienced good fit and ready to wear. And most of us have not, but some of us really never have, right? We know that people at the very smallest and very largest ends of the size spectrum are more likely to have a bad fit in ready to wear and to have fewer options available to them. So they may never have had a garment that fits well. Whereas in the middle range, you know, there are a lot more brands that serve those sizes. And so there's a lot more opportunities for somebody to get our dimensions right for us. So if you've never experienced good fit and you don't know it's possible, get a book on tissue fitting. If you have, see if you can figure out what made that garment fit so well, right? And then see if you can bring that to your knitting practice. That's all. It's a quick episode today. We are really excited to come back and talk with you a little bit more next week. I think we're going to do like a mid. We usually produce a podcast every 2 weeks. But I think we're going to do one next week, another shorty, and just kind of chit chat and catch up about H&H, which is the trade show that we were at last week for the knitting industry. Yeah. But listen, we can follow up on this when Bess and I are able to talk to each other again. So if you have questions about anything that I breezed through today or about any other fit topics that you'd like us to close the loop on for you when we are back together next week, put it in those comments, right? I'd also love if you have any like kind of stories or experiences of your own with this that you can share. I know that sometimes we get some really good conversations in the comments with knitters helping knitters. Love to foster that. Yeah. So feel free to connect. That's it. Yeah. The two patterns I talked about today, Local Metal and Herbalist. And I'll talk to you later, y'all. Happy knitting.